Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank each of you for tuning in with us here this morning. My name is Eric Hicks. I am the minister for the Hiawatha Church of Christ and the Sabetha Church of Christ. At the Church of Christ, our goal is simply to be New Testament Christians. The way we accomplish that is by speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent. If that is something that you have been searching for, we invite you to come and join us for worship service. In Hiawatha, we are located at 3rd and Osage. We begin on Sunday morning at 8:30 for Bible study, 9:30 for worship service, and then on Tuesday evening, beginning at 6:30, we have our midweek Bible study. In Sabetha, we are located at 3rd and Oregon. We begin on Sunday morning at 10:15 for Bible study, 11:15 for worship service. At 5 o'clock, we have our evening worship service. And then on Wednesday evening, beginning at 7, we have our midweek Bible study. If you're in the area, we would love to have you come and join us for worship service. And let us be New Testament Christians together. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me over to the Gospel of John. And we're going to look at several passages out of there in just a moment. The Gospel of John, we're going to start in chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, and we'll go through verse number 13. The Gospel of John is showing us our Savior and showing that He was in the very beginning with God. And John does a beautiful job of just showing us that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of Almighty God. In John 1, verses 10 through 13, we find that even though Jesus was God, when He came to His own rejected Him. Notice what John writes. John 1, beginning in verse 10. He said that He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave them the right to become the children of God, to those who believed in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so we find that Jesus, in the very beginning, He came to His own, and sadly, those that should have been the first to embrace Christ, to realize that He was the Son of Almighty God, that everything that He was doing, the things He was saying, the miracles that He was performing, all of those was showing that He was the Son of God and also the fulfillment of prophecy concerning Him. And so it is a very sad thing to see that these individuals did indeed reject Christ. The question that we're going to answer in this lesson is really a personal one for each of us to consider, and that is, what will you do with Jesus? Now, we've realized that some did reject Him and some did not. Some accepted Christ and were faithful to Him to the very end. Some also, as we see, went away. If you're still open to John, we're going to look at several passages out of the Gospel of John. We're going to look at John chapter 6, and let's look at that. John chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 60 through verse number 69. Now, within this context, Jesus was teaching a lesson that was very difficult for the people to understand. He was telling them that unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you do not have life within you. And so the problem was is that the people were taking the words of Christ very literally when Jesus was speaking to them figuratively, or we might say spiritually. And so Jesus would often do this. He would give a spiritual lesson that some would take very literal or very physical. And that was not the lesson that Jesus was portraying to them. Instead of trying to understand that, many of them rejected Christ and they went away, as we see here in this passage. Note John chapter 6, beginning in verse 60. John records for us. He says, "Therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this, He said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray Him. And He said, 'Therefore I said to you that no one can come to Me unless it has been granted to him by My Father.'" And then we see the sad passage. It said, "From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him and said, He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to know, to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I love Peter's answer. In spite of the fact that many were turning their backs upon Christ and they would not really seek after to know more about this message that Christ was portraying to them, they said it's a difficult saying, who can understand it, and they walked away from Christ. So different in contrast to his closest disciples, who when they did not understand something, when they were alone with Christ, they would ask questions like, you know, Lord, explain this parable to us more fully. Or they would inquire certain details about what he said, and Jesus would explain these things to them. And so we find that these individuals that we read of in John 6, that was not their practice, unfortunately, and they went away from the only one that could save their very souls. People today still walk away. Sometimes they don't fully understand the things of the Word of God, or they believe they can't understand the things of the Word of God. And that is so far from the truth. Because we can know the truth of God's Word, we can understand it. God has put it in a language by which, when we read, we can understand it. I love the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, where he says that when you read my epistle, you can know the mystery of Christ. And so you think about that term, mystery of Christ, it sounds like something that's way over our head, but that's not the way that Paul portrayed it. He said that when you read my epistle, that you may know, that is, you may understand the gospel, or the mystery, rather, of Christ. And then he goes on to explain what that is. And simply put, it is the mystery of Christ is that through Jesus, the door of salvation has not just been for the Jews, but for the Jews and Gentiles. Anyone can become a Christian. Anyone can be saved through him, that middle wall of separation broken down. Again, when we read the Word of God, we can indeed understand it. We must not be discouraged, and we certainly don't want to be tempted to walk away from Christ due to a lack of understanding or a lack of anything else as well. We want to hold fast to what we have in Christ Jesus. Secondly, let's look at another one. Some walked away from Christ. We also see, secondly, that some sought to destroy the evidence of who Jesus was. Now, we remember, we're going to be in John 12, but if you remember from John 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And because of that resurrection of Lazarus, many people believed in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of Almighty God. And some of the leaders, they were very shaken by this. And they wanted to know, what do we do about this? We've got to put a stop to this man, this Jesus, who is drawing many, many people to himself. And so we find in John chapter 12, verses 9 through 11, after Jesus, keeping in mind, after he did this notable miracle, here's what the people, the leaders, were saying. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Here's some individuals that their hearts were so hardened. Even though Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and not just a notable miracle, but an undeniable miracle as to the deity of Christ, were pointing that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of Almighty God. Lazarus was dead and in his tomb for 4 days. In fact, when Jesus said to roll away the stone, there was the concern that, well, he's been in there for 4 days, there's going to be a stench. And Jesus said, did I not say that you would see the glory of God today? And so they did. They rolled away the stone, and Jesus said the words, Lazarus, come forth, and he did. And so he's proving to the whole world that he is indeed the Christ, the Son of Almighty God, and yet you still find individuals that are so hard-hearted by their firm belief that Jesus is not God. And when they see evidence like this, they seek to destroy it. They not only wanted to put Christ to death, but even Lazarus, because he was walking proof that Jesus was who he claimed to be, and that is the Son of Almighty God. Some today do not want to examine the evidence that is before us. We see all kinds of evidence, not just in John 11, but really throughout Scripture, that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there's all kinds of evidence that points toward that, not only in the Word of God, but even in nature itself. There's all kinds of evidence that we have for the existence of God and for the things that has been accomplished through Christ Jesus. And there are some that either ignore the evidence or they try to undermine it. And again, it's something that we want to be aware of as Christians, that we want to take an honest look at the Word of God. And we want to look at it, look at the evidence that we see within it, because it is saturated with evidence that cries out, there is a Creator, there is a God, He loves us more than we can possibly imagine. And not only do we know that intellectually, but we see it demonstrated for us. As Paul pointed out there in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, that while we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one dare to die, yet for a good man one might even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And so God's love has not just been proclaimed, it has been demonstrated through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Third, we want to look at this morning, and that is that some were secret disciples of Christ. Again, if you're still open to the Gospel of John, in fact, chapter 12, just go down just a little bit further with me, and let's read together. John chapter 12, 42 and 43. We find some that were disciples of Christ, yes, but they were secret disciples. Note what John writes. He says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." A sad passage that we read when we look at the individuals who, they had faith in Christ. They weren't just believing in Him. They were disciples. They were putting their faith and trust in God and following Him, except they wanted to do it secretly, because they did not want to be cast out of the synagogue, and they were more interested in the approval of man rather than the approval of God. Again, sometimes even today, men do not want to profess their faith in Christ Jesus. They don't want to rock the boat, so to speak, as we often say in our own vernacular. They don't want to rock the boat. Instead, they want to hold fast to that, just kind of going along with whatever whim of society there might be. And so they hold fast to that, and they keep their faith in Christ, or keep their faith in God, secretive. And so again, it's a desire that some have to be more pleasing unto man rather than to please God. Jesus, on the other hand, taught us not to be like that. Instead, He taught us that we shouldn't be ashamed of who we are. Instead, we should let our light shine. Notice how He said that in Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. Jesus said, and in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men." And then He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and stick it under a basket, but it puts it on a lampstand that it may give light to all those who are in the house." And then in verse 16, Jesus said this. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Oh, may we be like that. May we be like those who are bold and determined to let our light shine before others, not ashamed of Christ, not ashamed of the gospel. As Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek. May we not be ashamed of Christ, but boldly proclaim the message of Christ and live the Christian life as we ought. Lastly, we're going to look at number four, and that is that others were steadfast in the Lord. Now, we've looked at some that, well, they went away. Some sought to destroy evidence, and some were secret disciples of Christ. But I want us to see a positive side of this as well, because even though many did reject Christ, there were many that wouldn't leave Christ for anything. Even in the midst of persecution and even death itself, they would hold fast to what they had in Christ Jesus. We find this with Peter. Now, we remember what Peter said back in our text earlier when Jesus says to His disciples in John 6, "Do you also want to go away?" And remember Peter's answer. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life, and also we have come to know and believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we find Peter, after the resurrection of Christ, and after he ascended back to the Father, we find persecution is now starting to set in, and yet we find Peter very bold and very steadfast in the Lord. Notice what it says in the book of Acts, chapter 5, and let's look at verses 26 through verse number 32. It says, "Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Peter was very bold in this particular passage. We see his unwillingness to swerve, unwillingness to back down. He was going to proclaim the message of Christ, whether anyone liked it or whether they didn't. Peter was going to be bold and steadfast because his purpose was to please God, not to please man. And so he was steadfast in the Lord. And so we find this answer that Peter gave. May it be our answer as well, that we ought to obey God rather than men. As we think about Christians today, we certainly as Christians, we want to be steadfast in the Lord. We want to be, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he said to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We live in a time where there is a lot that is straying away from the paths of righteousness. They're going into sin and immorality, and Christianity is becoming less and less popular. The question is, what do we do with that? We want to make sure that we hold fast to our faith. As Paul said, that we want to be steadfast. We want to be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's a song we sing. It's entitled, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And I like the part of that song that says, "Though none go with me, I still will follow." The idea that even if I'm in it by myself, even if we're going at it alone, we're not going to give in to the whims of social pressures, but we're going to hold fast to what we have in Christ. Just like Peter did when he said we ought to obey God rather than men. And he held fast to what he had indeed in Christ Jesus. As we think about this lesson, we can see that there were some that, as we find in the very first part of John, Jesus came to his own and his own did not receive him. We see that as Jesus preached some difficult lessons, sometimes people turned their back upon Christ and they walked away saying, "It's too hard. Who can understand these sayings of Christ?" Some would see the things that Jesus was able to do, even miraculous, impressive things, miracles that could not be denied, like raising Lazarus from the dead. And they would look at this and they would still try to destroy not just Christ, but Lazarus because he was living proof. Some were convinced that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of Almighty God, but they were secret disciples of Christ, did not want to reveal that they were believers themselves. And so they hid away, loving the praise of men rather than the praise of God. And then we saw the blessed example of Peter, the other apostles that were very bold, even in the face of adversity, and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." The question that we ask once again, as we did in the very beginning, what will you do with Jesus? Will we be like those who rejected Christ and walked away from him? Or will we be like Peter and the other apostles who refused to give in regardless of what came against them? Will we boldly declare, as Peter did, "We ought to obey God rather than men"? Or as he said earlier, "Lord, to whom else shall we go?" May we be like that. May we be like Peter and hold fast to what we have found in Christ. Would you like to know more about God and his holy will for you? We would like to invite you to log on to the website, HiawathaCoc.com. That is HiawathaCoc.com. You'll find there some information about the Word of God, about the church. You'll also be able to submit a Bible question or make a comment about today's broadcast. We will look forward to hearing from you. Until then, may God bless each of you, and have a great day.